open up to two places tonight. We will go to Acts chapter 13 and Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Acts chapter 13 and Ecclesiastes chapter 10. All right. Let's go ahead and read Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and then we'll flip over to Acts 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says in verse 1, it says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." And then, if you guys will, we can go to Acts 13. And down in verse 16, Paul is standing up and he's preaching, and it says this, it says, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and he gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And let's just go ahead and pray real quick again, and then we'll get into this. Lord, once again, we just want to come before you, and Lord, just... I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on myself, Lord, and I just don't want to say anything to offend you, Lord, or to go contrary to your word. And I just pray that you would open our eyes to your truth tonight, Lord. And we pray that you would involve yourself in this message and that you would be able to take it and use it. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so those passages don't really seem to kind of line up at all, but there's actually two words in there that I kind of want to look at for tonight. And in verse 22 of Acts 13, it says, "When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he gave testimony, and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And then that other verse said, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, so doth a little folly to him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." Now, I kind of want to look at those two words. I want to look at testimony and reputation. And the whole thing I guess I want to talk about tonight is just what your testimony is like, what kind of testimony that you have as a Christian. To a degree, I think that those two words are, I think we use them interchangeably today. I don't think that they're exactly the same, but I think that to an extent, like, they can kind of mean the same thing. Tonight, I just want to use them interchangeably. I don't think that the scripture necessarily lays them out as the same words, but you'll see some of the similarities to them. If you will, go to Acts chapter 5. So we're in Acts 13 now. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. And I'm not going to go real deep into this, but I just kind of want to quickly give the difference that I see in the words. But in Acts chapter 5 And in verse 29, then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So they're being pulled in before a council. They're being beaten for preaching. Verse 30, the God of our father raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. So is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And so you guys kind of have the picture of what's going on. And so in verse 34 it says this, then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Gamaliel got them off the hook, so to speak. All they got was beat, and they were set free, but Gamaliel stood up for them. And the one reason why Gamaliel was able to stand up for them and kind of what he used was he kind of used his reputation to get them out of the problem that they were in. Now, they still got beat, I think that reputation is more of what men see. And so you have Gamaliel, who had a reputation with the people, and he had a reputation as a doctor. It says he was a Pharisee. He was one of the council. He was a Pharisee. He was a doctor of the law and had in reputation. And so there's that. Also, we go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. I'm not going to get into anything about that, but again, it's just showing that reputation, I think, is more of like what men see. Philippians, if you'll go just a couple book, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 25, Paul says, yet I supposed it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. And so Paul just lays out this kind of a reputation that Epaphroditus has gained for himself, and so Paul kind of appeals through that. And so in verse 29, he says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me. And so, I think more a reputation is in front of men. I think that a testimony is more almost like a reputation towards men and a testimony towards God, like what God thinks of you. I'm not going to use them like that tonight, but I feel like that's kind of necessary to say because If a man loses his testimony, that's really bad, right? If a Christian loses his testimony, he just did something really bad, right? And it's hard to get that back. And so that's why we as Christians, we do need to be careful as how we conduct ourselves, right? We have, everybody's watching us. And even if they're not watching us, it's not like you have eyes on you all the time, but people notice you, right? People notice the way you carry yourself. You shouldn't talk like them. You shouldn't listen to what they listen to, right? And so if a Christian loses his testimony, that's really bad. But technically, if you lose your reputation, now we don't really use it in this sense because, again, I think we kind of use it interchangeably, but a man can lose his reputation and not necessarily be a bad man. If you really look at chapter 2, verse 5, it says this. Now, this doesn't necessarily say that he lost his reputation, but look what it says in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So here's the mind. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So you could say that before Jesus Christ came down to this earth, he probably had a fairly good reputation. I think we could probably all say that, right? But when he came down, he just laid that reputation aside. And so, but that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ was bad, right? So a Christian can lose his reputation. When, you know, all those years ago when Dr. Ruckman got saved, he said he went back and tried to witness to his parents. That was one of the first things he did. And he said he apologized to his parents for all the trouble that he caused them, and he witnessed to them. And his dad said, "Don't worry, we'll go to the hospital tomorrow." And they thought he was going crazy. And to them, I mean, this was a guy with military career and, of course, all these degrees and stuff like that. But among his family, he lost his reputation. He was no longer credible to them. I think that Brother Christofferson turned down a medical degree or going to school for that, right? That kind of shot his reputation in the foot with his parents, right? So a Christian can lose his reputation and it not necessarily be a bad thing. But all of that being said, I'm not going to use it like that. I just want to use those interchangeably tonight. And so we're going to look at some verses that have reputation and testimony in it. And so I just kind of want to go through that. So I guess the question tonight is just, what kind of testimony do you have? If you're a new Christian and if you don't understand this, I mean, you are now saved. I assume that you know that. But as a saved person, you need to grow as a Christian, right? And of course, you are called to be a testimony to others. You are called to be, I guess I'll use the verse, you are called to preach the gospel to every creature, right? You are supposed to do that. And if you don't live the Christian life, you know, Jesus Christ said, let a man deny himself and take up his cross daily. If you don't do that and you profess to be a Christian, people are going to see through that. And most likely they're not going to listen to you. When I was in Florida, I was, actually me and Caleb worked with a guy for a little while, and he was a Christian, and he told everybody about it. And I mean, he would go up and down the walkway, and he was just always talking. And then out of the same mouth came a little corrupt spring. And he was just, his mouth was filthy. If he got mad, I mean, watch out, he'd turn the air blue. And people saw through that. And people got annoyed with the guy because he had a horrible testimony. So as a Christian, you want to build that testimony. You want to build, you want to be able to be dependable with your testimony. You want the Lord to be able to depend on you. So again, what kind of testimony are you building? And so, what reputation do you hold among your brothers and sisters in Christ, among your workmates? I don't know. And so I just want to look at a few people in the Bible. There's some good, some bad, but there's some things that we can learn. And so I don't know how you are known. If men would talk about you behind your back, what would they say about you? If the Lord had to tell somebody about you, what would he say? We already read the verse, but the Lord had a real good testimony of David. I mean, he openly said, he goes, that guy is a man after my own heart. I believe it was Samuel. The Lord told Eli, he said, I'm going to get me a faithful priest who will do what's in my heart. And the Lord knew that he could get that from Samuel. The Lord knew that is what he could get from David. So that was the testimony that what David had. That was his reputation. I'm not going to turn to it, but it's the other thing that's interesting, and I've said this before, so forgive me if you remember it, but Before David fought any battles, before he fought Goliath or anything like that, before he was king, it's very interesting because I think it's in 2 Chronicles, you know what it says? It says David was a mighty man of valor, that he was a man of war. He hadn't even fought any battles. But somebody was watching. You know, there was somebody who was watching it, and somebody noticed that. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He says, everyone can get saved in a minute of time, but it takes a lifetime to build a Christian character that will stand the blows of time and fortune. And the fact is you're going to have to labor to keep your testimony. And it is really important for you to keep your testimony. Listen, people can get saved because of your testimony, because of what they see. And so the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. And you want to make as good, you want to be as good of an ambassador for Jesus Christ as you can be. If you will, let's look at a couple examples here tonight. Go to Acts chapter 7. Go to Acts chapter 7. Here's a couple really common ones. Acts chapter 7 and let's look at verse 30. Oh, let's see. Figure out where to start here. Let's see. So you have, so Stephen is addressing a council and he's beginning to preach. And let's see here. Verse 31, he's talking about Moses, talking about the children of Israel coming out of the wilderness. And he starts with Moses, how the Lord called Moses in verse 30, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And so you guys, the burning bush, and we heard a sermon on that a couple weeks ago. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of your fathers. Verse 34, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groanings, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee unto Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared unto him in the bush. He brought them out. After that, he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. And I know it's kind of boring, but as you're reading that verse, the phrase kind of stuck out to me, because as he's preaching, he says, This is that Moses. I know that there's only one Moses in the Bible, but you know, I kind of imagine as he's preaching and somebody's like, what Moses? No, this is that Moses. The guy that I'm telling, you know what I'm saying? And he gives all these details about Moses and he says, this is that Moses. And Moses had a real good reputation. Moses had a real good testimony with the Lord. If you will, go to Hebrews chapter 3. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. And I think that testimony that Moses had was based around his loyalty to the Lord. His testimony was based around his faithfulness to the Lord. And you're going to see that here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he hath builded the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some men, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of all of those things which were to be spoken of after. And in this time, the Lord is, it's kind of funny because it's kind of like, wait, who's he talking about? Is he Christ or is he talking about Moses? Wouldn't you like to get mixed up with somebody who's talking about the Lord and you? Wouldn't you like to be like, oh, wait, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about me or are you talking about the Lord? And Moses had that. He had that testimony. Where Paul is talking about Jesus Christ. And he says, the apostle and high priest of our profession. And he's given all this stuff. And all of a sudden he says, oh, he's like Moses. And like, I mean, imagine Moses responds like, whoa. Like, really? You know? And like, what in the world? And so that was Moses. That was his testimony. And listen, as a Christian, we all know this, and so I don't want to hit on this too much, but listen, you have to be faithful. You have to be faithful to the Lord. If you're not faithful to the Lord, listen, people are going to see that. And they're going to see that reputation. You're going to build that reputation, and you're going to build that testimony with people. And look, I mean, Moses, his testimony, I mean, Paul describes Jesus Christ, and then he says, oh yeah, just like how Moses was. And you consider how faithful Moses was. You consider how, man, he went through all, he had a lot of ups and downs. He had more downs than ups for a lot of those years. Man, all of a sudden he's called out of the backside of the desert, and he winds up leading the children of Israel. And just the faithfulness that it took for Moses to be able to get through all that he got through. That's quite a bit of faithfulness there. And so Moses had this testimony, and it was that his loyalty was based around his loyalty. Here's a quick one, because we're in Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 5. So here's one. The Bible doesn't say much about the guy, but it's very short. It's very concise. And he says this about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And if you're going to have a testimony, you know, if you could have one testimony with God, I mean, again, Paul is given direct inspiration, and he's sitting there writing, and he says, okay, Lord, what was it about Enoch? Oh, you pleased me. Oh, okay. And the Lord's telling him to say that. And that was his testimony. We already read the one about David. And so there's a couple real good testimonies that we can see in the Bible. But take your Bible and go to the Old Testament. Let's see a bad example. Let's see a bad reputation. Go to Numbers chapter 26. Numbers chapter 26. And these are some generations that the Lord is numbering, and it's kind of a boring read. And all of a sudden, something pops out. And if you go look at verse 7, it says this. These are the families of the Reubenites. And they that were numbered of them were 43,730. And the sons of Palu, Eliab. And the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. What's their testimony? This is that Dathan and Abiram, which were famous in the congregation, who strove against the Lord and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign, notwithstanding the children of Korah died not. But you talk about a bad reputation. The Lord says, oh yeah, and by the way, this is that Korah. This is that Dathan and Abiram. These are, remember those guys? This is them. And their reputation was, it was based around rebellion against God's order. And listen, as a Christian, you're not supposed to rebel against God's order. They were never okay with what God said. If God said this, they automatically didn't like it. That's rebellion. You guys know what rebellion is. It's as the sin of witchcraft. And so he says, and this is that Korah, this is that Dathan and Abiram. They were never satisfied with God's rules. God set the rule, and he says, hey, listen, these are the priests. These are the ones that I'm going to go through. And Dathan and Abiram and Korah, they stand up and they say, well, we actually think that all of us are holy just like you guys. Why are you guys so special? And they stand up and they produce this rebellion. and it killed a lot of people. Their testimony was based around bucking authority. And listen, I'm sorry, but like a Christian shouldn't buck authority. Right? I mean, like, my dad mentioned it the other night, and I didn't think of this till just now, but we're not getting the militia together. Why? Because we're not supposed to buck authority. Right? Those governments, they were set in place by God. In fact, we're supposed to pray for them. That's what we're supposed to do. So we're not supposed to buck authority. And so that was their testimony. And again, I don't know what kind of testimony you have. I mean, I know some of you, and I could tell somebody, oh yeah, this guy and such, and I could give my opinion of him. And that's a reputation. That's a testimony. If you will, let's look at another one. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This was kind of one of the main passages that spurred the thought here and thought it appropriate for a Wednesday night. John chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." The Lord says, oh, by the way, I want you to remember, this is that Mary. Mary, where she got down. Listen, her testimony, she had a testimony where, you know what, she didn't really care what anybody thinks. She just wanted to minister to the Lord. She just wanted to be close to the Lord. And I don't know what kind of testimony you hold. I don't know if people would say, man, that guy's close to the Lord. Or again, is, you know, I can't remember where that verse is, but at one point somebody was talking and it said, oh, I think it was Simon Peter. When the maid talked to him and asked who he was, and he said, no, I'm not a disciple. And one of those people said, your speech betrayeth thee. Yeah. Your speech is betraying you. You're a disciple. And I wonder if, in that case, I wonder, does your speech lead somebody to think different about you than what you really should be? I don't know. But Mary didn't really care what anybody thought. She just thought, I want to be with the Lord. I mean, that's a pretty, even back then, that must have been a fairly humiliating position. To wipe your hair, to wipe the feet of a man with your hair. But she didn't care. It did not matter to her one bit. And that was her way to be able to get close to the Lord. And so that's what she did. And that was the testimony that she carried. And so, well, I don't know. What kind of testimony do you carry? I tell you what, take your Bible and let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And I understand that this is not really like a deep thought or anything like that, but your testimony as a Christian is a big deal. And your testimony it's something that you're going to carry with you. And it's always interesting to me, you know, all the people that were around and that you see through the years. And there's kind of one person in particular that I thought of. And I've talked to the guy very briefly and all that. And he's saved and he's a good man, but it's kind of funny because the I hear these bits and pieces about this guy, and it's kind of weird because he kind of has like a weird reputation. I've heard the guy preach, he had good messages, but there were things that just stuff that he did, and it wasn't like egregious or anything like that, but it was just kind of like you hear one thing and you're like, oh, that's kind of weird, you know, and then you hear another thing and you're like, oh. And then you hear more, and you're like, maybe we should, you know? But that's the reputation that he's made for himself. That's the testimony that he's made for himself. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, and look at verse, this is about Ahaz in verse 16. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. For again, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the Low Country, and so you guys kind of have what's going on there. And Israel and Judah, they're really getting beat up on. And verse 19, for the Lord brought Judah low because of the king of Israel, or Ahaz, king of Israel, for he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Ahaz is a very, very wicked king. In verse 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burnt his children in fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And this guy is a wicked king. God is not happy with him. In verse 20, he turns to, and Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And so he's trying to pay him off. The Edomites are attacking, the Philistines are attacking, and he's calling out for help to the king of Assyria. And so he's like, hey, will you help me? And it says that that the king comes, but he doesn't even help him. It says that he pays him, and he doesn't help him. In verse 22, and in the time of his distress, he did trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. What a horrible testimony to have. How would you like it if the Lord started talking about you and said, oh yeah, and yeah, this is that guy. That's not the testimony you want to have. But listen, Ahaz had no sanctity whatsoever. He wasn't going to be bound by rules or regulations, you know. And I mean that totally fits today. Christians don't want to have rules; they want to be able to say whatever they want to say. I was listening to a preacher recently, and he says, "You know what I'm?" He goes, "I am sick and tired of hearing Christians cuss." And it's like, "Yeah, what about that?" Here's a novel thought: you shouldn't have filthy language, right? I mean, like you just shouldn't have it. You know, your speech is supposed to be uncondemned. No man should be able to condemn your speech. And listen, why is that okay? It's funny. I have had three people tell me, oh, that's not a cuss word, and they're all Christians. It's like, are you stupid? If I said it from the pulpit, I wouldn't be able to be up here anymore. It's just like, how dumb are you? Why would you even say that? I was at work, and this Christian I was telling you about earlier, that's what he said. He's like, that's not a cuss word. And I like looked at him, and the lost guy in the bathroom was like, I say that, and I know that's a cuss word. And I was just like, what? You know? But listen, he was not sanctified at all. Ahaz didn't want his freedoms to be restricted. And listen, if you have the wrong heart, you know how you will look at this? It is just a restrictor of your freedoms. I can't do this. I can't say this. I can't go here. I can't drink that. I can't do that. And all you will look at that book as just a restrictor of your freedoms. That's how you will look at it. And you need to be careful with that. Look at verse 23. It says this. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria help them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and all of Israel. Listen, Ahaz was willing to make sacrifices for what he wanted to make sacrifices for. And you may say that you don't want to make any sacrifices for the Lord, and that's how you live your life. But you're a complete hypocrite. Because you'll make sacrifices for what you want to do. And that's what you'll do. Look at Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. It's hard to sacrifice. It's hard to be able to have a willing heart to sacrifice. Now, you try to keep your heart right, it will get easier, the Lord will give you grace, but I'm not necessarily saying that it's easy to make sacrifices. But listen, I mean, look what it says in chapter 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel and quiet therewith than a house full of sacrifices and strife. And listen, you will think that I don't want to make these sacrifices, but yet you'll sacrifice something else, and you'll just have a house full of strife, and that's a shame. It's when you look at the sacrifices that Ahaz makes. The sacrifices that Christians make just to go against the Lord, they're so unnecessary. The sacrifices that they wind up making in the end are just like, you have no, I mean, even let's just forget the physical stuff. Let's look at it spiritually. You have absolutely no rewards for the Lord. You're going to be ashamed and naked, right, before the Lord. You're going to have nothing before Him. But man, I mean, the family that's sacrificed sometimes, right? Your health that's sacrificed. It's a house full of sacrifices and strife because you didn't want to give the sacrifice that the Lord wanted. And that's what Ahaz does. And so they're completely unnecessary. I had you guys leave the passage, but I'm going to go back to 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 23. It says he sacrificed the gods of Damascus, and then they didn't help him. So he said, oh, Syria is being helped right now, so I'm going to sacrifice their gods. So then he just jumps ships and goes to their gods. Right? And I think I already said this, but the sacrifices don't even make sense. You know, you look at a Christian who is just, I guess, doing everything that I'm saying here. I mean, you look at them and you're just like, can't you see it? Is it really worth it? Is the sacrifice that you're making, that you're getting away from, is this sacrifice worth it? It doesn't even make sense. I thought of this too. When a sacrifice is made, not every time, because there's drink offerings and things like that, but when something is sacrificed, I feel like you could generally say that something dies, right? Like when something is sacrificed, you know, something is dying, right? Which kind of made me think, okay, so if you as a Christian, you're not sacrificing what the Lord is wanting, and you're doing your own sacrifices, what are you killing? What's dying? What is dying because of your sacrifices that you're willing to make? Verse 23 again, it says, but they were the ruin of him. And listen, you may have the false impression that you're not having to make a sacrifice, but in reality, you're making a big mistake and you're making a big sacrifice. I don't know how you get somebody to realize that. I think the only thing that the Lord, that can happen, is the Lord has to show them. But again, the Lord says, this is that king Ahaz. This is that guy. And that's a bad testimony to have. So again, what are you killing? What are you destroying for your sacrifice? Just closing, let's go to two verses. And I guess this is kind of what I want to get back to. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I'll read two verses in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says this, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. And listen, your sacrifices are supposed to give a sweet incense to the Lord. He is supposed to be able to smell that, and he's supposed to be pleased with that. And so this verse is talking about that scent, and then in that ointment. And so then it says, it's like dead flies, you know, they die in that ointment, they cause that thing to stink. And I don't know what dead flies you have in your ointment, But it stinks to the Lord if you have it. And the Lord doesn't want to smell it. But he likens it and he says, the apothecary to send forth the stinging savor, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Listen, you wanna earn your testimony? Just allow a fly to drop into that ointment. And you'll be surprised what people pick up on. And again, that thing that I read by Bob Jones Sr., but it takes a lifetime to build a Christian character that will stand the blows of time and fortune. It takes a long time to build up a good testimony. And you need to be careful of that because you want to, I guess this is the warning. Look at chapter 9 and verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And the last time I checked, you're a sinner. And you can have a good testimony. And you can have a good reputation. But you can ruin it really easily. And it says, but one sinner destroyeth much good. You can work a lifetime. I don't remember who it was, but I think it was a missionary. And he gave the illustration, and I don't know how long in his Christian life he was, but certain circumstances happened, and he said, I lost it. He goes, I went outside, and I was throwing stuff. And he goes, I believe, he said he was cussing up a storm. He goes, I completely lost it. And he said, I looked over, and my neighbor was watching me. And you know that guy's never going to forget that. Yeah. Ever. And so I guess the warning is just, listen, yeah, build a good testimony. Build a good reputation with the Lord. But man, you better be careful because we're all sinners and you'll be able to destroy that thing pretty easily with a slip. And I'm not saying that you can't gain the ground back, right? I mean, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Absolutely, right? And, you know, we all need to have grace with each other because Christians do slip, I think, right? That's what I've been told, you know. And so, but you better be careful because there's one sinner destroys much good. And that could happen to any of us. I don't care who you pull out as the best Christian, you could ruin it if you're not careful. So, anyways, that's all I have for tonight.